Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, October the 31st, 2025. It is Halloween. Happy Halloween to you and your family out there. 12 and a half minutes past the hour. Joined in studio today by Matt Morgan. He has shown up. And the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if there's anything on your mind. And I should mention, I got an email there while we were at break from one of our listeners, Judy, who's out there listening. And the red leaves are autumn blaze maple. Autumn blaze maple. I was walking in my neighborhood last night, and I said I saw a bunch of beautiful red, dark red leaves on the ground as I was out walking. And Judy sent me a message. They are autumn blaze maple. So thank you, Judy, for the email this morning. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And again, want to thank the Women's Club for sending an invitation for their Women's History Resource Center ribbon cutting this past Wednesday, but I was not able to attend. But I thank them for sending that invitation. And after talking with Mary Ellen earlier, I think it was a very successful event, and a big kudo to people here in Marion that they'll be able to go to the Women's Home and visit the Women's History Resource Center. So, a very nice thing. Well, Matt, here we go. You were at City Council Monday when the letter came from Bill Collins that he sent a letter to the auditor of the state basically asking for some help. We could be put on fiscal caution, which apparently we're already long past, fiscal watch, or fiscal emergency. And then as the week went on, we found out that Julie Welch, on the very same day that that letter went down, the director of transit resigned that day and said in her resignation letter that it was effective immediately. And two other city directors, according to Jason Schauber and some other people at this point, have retired or resigned in the last month. None of these positions have been filled. What do you make of what's going on here in the city?
Well, it certainly seems to be a rough spot. I mean, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I mean, obviously, I mean, I don't know if they're going to, like, the state's going to come in and, like, put the clamps down on the city's finances or what exactly is that's about. But, I mean, any time that people start resigning, obviously, it's not good. I mean, you know, members of the administration resigning, well, it's not good, I guess. I don't know how else to put it. Obviously, it's bad signs.
Well, you were there when the mayor read that letter. What'd you make of it?
Well, that's not certainly not what I was expecting. I think, I mean, I guess it's, you know, probably useful at this point, but it's rough. I mean, I guess I'm surprised that it got to this. I don't know how to really put it. I mean, I don't know. I think that it's going to be rough. I give the mayor a lot of credit for getting up in the city council meeting and reading that. I bet you that couldn't have been comfortable for him.
Well, Jason Schauber seemed to feel he had no choice. He feels that this was put upon him. And it is interesting that he does say in the letter that funds appear to have deficit balances, which, if accurate, could be determined to be significant. And, you know, that's the budget is going to come out soon. I mean, what was he going to do?
The mayor?
Yeah. If he really believes now, because of maybe an audit, maybe, I don't know, his budget director has found this out. If he really believes that there are deficit balances in city accounts, and we don't know what balances those are, What could he do but ask the Auditor of State to come in?
We don't know what the negative balances are?
No. As a direct result of...
because of the lack inaccurate, of reconciliation, right?
Right. That several funds appear to have deficit balances.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on how in deficit they are.
Well, any deficit is going to be a problem.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a deficit. I mean, that's not good. You're in the negatives. But, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if the state auditor, or whoever, I guess, does that kind of thing, came and you know, said, look, you know, it's looking pretty rough down there right about now.
Well, I'm just curious as to how a city gets into a deficit.
Well, I mean, I'd assume it's the same way anybody gets into a deficit. You spend more than you make.
Right, but a city knows about how much money they're supposed to have. And as we all know, the city has spent more money in the last 2 years than, I don't know. I mean, you could probably go back 36 years and not find a two-year period where more money was spent. So if you knew that your funds were questionable and you knew that the auditor's office and if you knew you had not reconciled, when Collins came into office in January of 24, you knew that you had not reconciled since 19 at that point. You knew there had been 4 reconciliations missed. So why would you have the most aggressive agenda and spend more money over 2 years than any administration would have spent if you know you don't have reconciled books for 4 years?
Well, I would assume they thought they had the money. Otherwise, I mean, I don't think they would do it if they didn't think they had the money. I think that they just, I guess, overestimated how much money they had. I mean, I don't think they...
How would they know how much money they had if the auditor and the state and the treasurer don't know how much money they have?
No, I mean, I guess I could be wrong, but, like, I mean, is that not just, like, balancing a checkbook? So, like, could I not just look at the bank and see how much money I have? My checkbook just isn't balanced?
It's a it's a little more technical than that, because when the numbers got off, it went on for a while.
And it was 5 years at this point.
Well, no, but when the numbers originally were knocked off and not balancing every month, which is how you do a yearly reconciliation. Things were not being put into the system correctly. And it's hard to go back in time and figure out exactly what happened. That's been a lot of the problem. Plus, things have ended up in the budget that they would not have suspected, like penalties, fines, and not sure what was owed here or there.
Well, I mean, they created... two new positions? Two or three? Two, I think. Right?
Two.
Yeah. I don't know how much they make, but I assume the two combined make over $100,000, or at least pretty close to it.
Yeah, but you got two new positions. You've got the party, the $10,000...
Night Moves Bus,
expansion of the transit services. You know, all of these things, possibly a third position being offered to be created, which I think is when they went looking for the money when this became an issue.
Well, do you think that they're going to be able to make that position when the... It is the auditor of state who comes in and, like, you know, puts the clamps down on the city, right?
Well, right, but we don't know. Who knows yet? Won't know till that comes back, I guess. But, one of the positions you created was a budget director. I mean, what is the point of having a budget director if they're not helping any situation?
I don't know. I don't know what the budget director really does, if I'm being honest. Because, I mean, I could be wrong, or mistaken, I think is probably the better term. But was the budget director not, like, sold to city council as a position to help the auditor get everything sorted out?
Yeah.
Well, apparently the budget director doesn't help the auditor at all.
No.
So, I don't know. So, I don't know what the budget director really does. I guess maybe they just look. I don't know.
But well, that's a lot of money for a position that doesn't do anything.
That's why I assume they do something. I mean, they had by the way, is it Casey Courtright or Tacey? Like with a T?
Casey.
With a T?
T.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I mean, like, they had Tacey Courtright standing up. Like, she was in all of the city council meetings, committee meetings, and she was speaking at, like, every one of them. So, I mean, I assume she does something, or they do something, because she's
been seen in City Hall a lot.
Tacey?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And in the new budget director's office, quite a bit. Wonder why.
Maybe she just come back to help, like train her.
Well, what do you make of the Twyla Lang comment? This is the last administration's fault. We're here to clean it up.
Now, it is my understanding that the Schertzer administration got awards for fiscal responsibility from the state. So.
Well, they certainly didn't spend a whole lot.
I mean, if you get rewards for fiscal responsibility, I assume you're doing pretty good with the finances.
Well, I think when Mayor Schertzer realized that there was a problem with the finances, he did not spend any more money. And I believe his quote was, when the pay raises were being voted on, that he could not, in good conscience, let that go through with not knowing what the money was in the city.
Well, yeah.
So, then Mayor Collins comes in and spends a lot of money.
Well, I mean, now they didn't say it so simply, but I mean, a lot of the times,
all the rebranding, the signs, the stickers, the wraps.
Oh, yeah, there's that. But, I mean, they obviously thought they had more. I mean, because I don't know if they ever actually explicitly said it, but, I mean, they were kind of doing one of the whole, like, we have money, we just don't know where it's at. I mean, they were, I don't think they turned down spending for anything, or, giving money to things.
But is that the way to run, we think?
I mean, no.
They were told a lot. That we don't know where the money is.
Yeah, but they don't. Apparently, they didn't believe it. I guess I don't know. I mean, I figure that if you thought the financials in Marion were, you know, destitute, you wouldn't be spending money.
But how does that become the last administration's problem?
I don't know the accuracy of it because I just don't know. But I mean,
go ahead, caller.
Oh.
Yeah, Scott, like Matt said, and I imagine the city has computers that's taking care of all this. You know, when you fill out your register in the checkbook, you write in the checks that you wrote, and then you deduct it from your balance, and you have a new balance. And I imagine the city has more than one account. Now, can the mayor go to the treasurer or the auditor and say, how much is in the number two account, which might be the account that they use to pay certain bills for, can he see, as of today, what's in there? Because...
Well, I don't know. I don't think he goes to that office.
Everything that they paid. And it's like your checkbook. Well, if you don't write it in, you ain't going to have a balance.
Well, this is
your checkbook.
Well, this is,
you know, the balance that's on the form does not include the outstanding checks.
Well, this is from Mary out there listening this morning. Scott Schertzer also tried to warn everyone about Robert Landon. No one listened, so it's not his administration's fault. That's from Mary out there listening this morning.
Right, and all Robert Landon's problem was Scott Schertzer and his cronies, and I don't think we had a Democratic majority in the council then. So, you know, Robert Landon's excuse is that it was just over his head or he didn't put enough time in or what. But it's not Scott Churchill and his cronies' fault. You know, they didn't purposely withhold from the rest of them that we have a penalty coming in from IRS. Eventually, we learned of that penalty and some more, but when he first got word of it, he doesn't say nothing to nobody. He makes it so everybody, he didn't want to communicate with everybody. If Scott Churchill would have came and talked to him, he's probably very dismissive to him. I ain't getting you nowhere.
No, but my question has been all week. If you know coming in that the books have not been reconciled for several years, and you have an ambitious agenda, and that's nothing wrong with that, but you don't know where the finances are, why would you continue over the course of 2 years to spend money on things that a lot of people would say are not musts?
You know, the bus wasn't rust, you know, getting rust all over because it didn't have no paint on it or whatever. Those wraps didn't need to be put on it. I'm sure his wallpaper in his office or whatever wasn't falling down. You know, those wraps wasn't needed. But this is one thing people need to consider. Okay, Collins is spending more money, right? So that means the city has a bigger deficit than what they had before. Well, it's true with the federal. Even though a Democratic president does go to a deficit, you see how much more deficits are created by the Republican administrations than what are the Democrats. And they always blame the Democrats for it. You wait and see. Find out how much the deficit was increased under Biden. Find out how much the deficit was increased under Trump this term. Just go back and compare that. The conservative party ranks up higher deficits than the Democrats.
And we'll watch it as it goes. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
And again, the phone lines are always open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What do you think?
About what the caller said?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think they were playing off of what I said up until the national politics. I mean, I would figure you could look at the bank accounts of the city and see the funds you have. I don't know. I mean, it's not going to be balanced. But, like I said, I figure you could just do that.
Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, it's all good.
I don't think we've talked.
My house. My checkbook balances.
I don't think we've talked since Monday.
I don't believe so, but this phone call kind of is for Matt.
Oh, go ahead.
Good morning. Matt, you have gotten such a, well, I don't want to say, but the opportunity that Scott has handed you by you being late all the time, and I know we're just typical grandpas or grandmas, whatever, but if you're supposed to be there at a certain time, then don't stay up all night. It's your responsibility to be up and be there. If you worked anyplace else, they would have fired you a long time ago. Now, I'm just being a grandma and telling you, you need to get your act together and go to bed at night if you need 15 hours sleep. But don't keep coming in late all the time and Scott making excuses for you. That's the end of that story. And Scott just, I hope that Matt just takes that, at least considers how lucky he is to have the opportunity he's got.
Well, how do you feel about the city, though, while we got you on the line?
Well, how do I? Oh, geez. All I know, anybody that's going to go in for office, anybody can go and check the balances and stuff before, can't they? I mean, if I wanted to go up there and say, I want to see how much money we owe and da-da-da-da, couldn't we do that? Aren't we allowed to, since it's our money?
Well, I would. What I don't understand, though, this letter is concerning to me. That line, and I've said it all week, that there are funds appear to have deficit balances. Now, I don't know how that could not have been at least suspected.
But if you were going to run for that office, wouldn't you kind of want to look what's going on and say, oh, I don't know if I want to get in this mess or not?
Well, that's it. The shows around here are taped. Everything that's been done in the last 2 years, and one of my major observations about the Collins administration, other than they don't tend to be media friendly, is that they don't seem to ever explain. And by the way, city council rubber stamps a lot of this stuff.
That's right. So they didn't do their job either.
But I never understood if they were so sure that the auditor was incompetent, and they were so sure that the treasurer wasn't doing his job, and they tried to take a no-confidence vote in the treasurer. They did take a no-confidence vote in the auditor. The last auditor resigned. That says it. No confidence. They tried to take a no-confidence vote, and yet every time something financial came up, from wraps for buses to redecorating offices to a budget director to an economic development director to a $10,000 party to a grant writer, things the city never had before, the expansion of transit with night moves, which people got tired of us talking about, but the question always was, where's the money coming from? And now here we are.
That's what I thought along the whole time. And besides that, if I was running for mayor before I, because he had, you know, if he'd been on council and so forth before, he should have been aware of all that. But since he wasn't, but he was involved in the city, so he can't say this is all foreign language to him. But like I say, if I was running for office, I'd be looking at the books before I ever got there and wonder if I really wanted in that mess.
Well,
I think they've just, and I blame the council as much as anybody else. They should have never okayed everything that he brought forth.
Well, and the thing of it is when Mayor Collins brings out this letter and starts to get some negative publicity about it, here, I mean, Twyla Lang was just the person who made the comment, but she comes out, the fourth ward council person and the head of the chair of the financial committee, and says, well, this is the past administration. We're here to fix this.
Oh, don't be you know, when you point your finger at somebody, how many fingers are you pointing back at yourself?
Well, and I think that there's a little confusion about that comment from her. And first of all, are council members a part of the administration? I never heard of a council member refer to themselves as part of the administration.
Well, it's, you know, I guess when you're making gravy, if you get a bad batch, it takes some real thought to get back out, figure it out. Why would the mayor have even, unless he knew, and couldn't anybody, you, me, or anybody, just go and find out, walk into the thing and say, well, I just want to know how we stand checkbook-wise.
At this point,
if I was running for the office, I'd certainly figure that out before I got in that mess.
Well, listen, I would never be a politician. I would never run for anything. But I do know that if I was the chief executive of a city, which that's what the mayor is, we have a strong mayor in Marion, that if I was unsure what the funds were, I don't think I would spend money until I knew what those funds were. And if I was going to spend money, I think I would spend money on things to try to fix the funds.
Well, I thought the whole time when they were we were buying this and this and this, and I thought, somebody's going to get there. I'm not going to say what my brother would say, but somebody's going to get in big trouble. And I blame them all because, I mean, the council shouldn't have approved all the things that he decided or they decided they were going to do. Evidently, the council thought they had a whole bunch of money, too, or they wouldn't have approved it. So they're, to me, and I have a lot of respect for the people on the council, although I never do see my person, But I would say it's their fault as much. They should have looked into that, and he should have looked into it before he even stepped in the Bulls ring.
Well, it's just a peculiarity to me. And so many people have called this show and just regular callers and defended the mayor when they felt that I was being a little harsh toward him. Well, listen, I have no reason to be harsh toward Bill Collins. I don't know Bill Collins better than I knew Scott Scherzer or Jack Kellogg. We don't have any closer or any less closer relationship than I had with those guys. The only thing...
If you'd have gone before you run for the mayor... And you would have gone and said, hey, how are we doing? What kind of a situation am I in? You know, because once you get in, then you're responsible for the damn mess. And, I mean, why wouldn't he have asked questions before he ever got there? And at least to another council person, you know, you just aren't going to go in there. That'd be like me going to your house and just start writing checks. Say, hey, Scott, you can figure it out.
Well, my final question this morning is the state level. What do you make of Governor DeWine coming in with a little bit of money here for the people on SNAP?
I don't know. You could put them all in a jar and shake them up and whatever. But it's just because I guess I look at money as money, whether it's mine or the city's. And I can't imagine that many people... No, and the finances of the city, and then everybody just, no one saying anything. If I was there, you know what I'd be doing. We can't spend that money. Good God, we ain't got any. And in the second place, why didn't they call the state in a long time ago before they spent all this money to try to help them get out of this mess?
Well, one thing I would say, and I've said this the last month for sure, that I felt there were a lot of people on that finance committee on city council who were all personality driven. And what have they been concerned with? They've been concerned with yelling at the treasurer for the last 3 months about his training, and they've been concerned about yelling at the auditor about things going on in her office, which we have known there's been problems there for 5 years. Apparently, what the finance committee was not concerned about was the money being spent by the city, and they kept saying, we're looking at the budget, we're looking at the budget, we're looking at the budget. Well, were you? Because there are deficit balances there, apparently. What were you looking at? And what was the budget director looking at, $80,000 a year?
Like I say, if you would just look at it as a little picture instead of a great big picture, but if I was going to be running for mayor, the first thing I'd do is check the bookkeeping, because I wouldn't have stepped into that mess.
And I think a lot of people didn't run for that reason.
And there again, if you tell the truth all the time, you don't have to back up and wonder.
A lot easier to tell the truth. Hey, thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Matt, what do you make of the whole thing here? I mean, I think those are some points that need to be examined. That where we have a finance committee that's supposed to be financial oversight. We have a budget director who have been completely interested in racking the treasurer about his training and wrecking the auditor about how her office runs, but yet were they looking at the budgets? Were they looking at the actual numbers as they approved these things that came down the path in the last 2 years?
Oh, I'm pretty sure they had said stuff, something along the lines of like, essentially just that there's money, we just don't know where it's at, or that, you know, something like that. They've been concerned with the city's finances, I guess, as far as, like, mentioning them, but they've really not acted as if they're concerned with the city's finances. I mean, they've not, they've appropriated the funds for everything.
Well, and again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And anybody is free to call in. If you are part of this administration, if you are part of city council, if you are an elected position, call in. You know, there's no set of questions ready to go for you. Explain some of this. Explain what's going on. And then you've got the resignation of the transit director, which is significant because a lot of talk in the last year was wrapped around the buses. I mean, I remember last Christmas time, how in the world is the city funding this free Christmas lights bus tour. Now, I think at that time I heard that sponsors had covered it. Did they? I don't know.
Well, that was what was said, was that it was paid for by sponsors.
But was it?
I mean, I don't think they gave, like, dollar amounts, but I'm pretty sure they went and, I mean, I think they listed off four sponsors, or at least.
But wasn't it
like
said
that
Night Moves was going to be paid for by sponsorships that were on the inside of the bus?
Well, I don't think anybody ever followed up with that, because they said that they had to look at, like, the ORC, maybe. They had to basically figure out the legalities of that. Advertising on the inside and outside of the bus.
Why do you think the transit director left on the same day? Her resignation letter is dated the same day that Bill Collins sends the letter to the auditor of the state.
Well, I don't know for certain, but, I mean, they never asked for any more money to be appropriated for the transit department, and they have added another bus route. I think they hired another driver for that bus route. So, I mean, they're spending, I don't know how they wouldn't be spending more gas, and they've obviously have to spend more money for salary. They hired another driver. So, I mean, you know, also the bus wraps, which came, I do believe, out of the transit fund for the buses.
See, this is what I never understood about transit, and I think this is why transit was talked about so much, is that this was never a money-making part of the budget, the transit department. So how was this ever all being afforded? No answer was ever really given to that. And my guess would be one of these deficit lines, deficit balances, is probably in the transit department.
I mean, that's probably a fair guess.
But again, why do that? And see, here's another thing. Okay, let's say Mayor Collins thought it'd be a good idea. Let's run those buses at night. Okay? Let's see if this works. After 3 months of it not working and realizing that it was not turning a profit, why would you continue to do it for another 10 months?
Well, I don't know that anybody asked specifically that, I guess, because we're towards the end of the 10 months now. But, I mean, I'm pretty sure there was an assumption that because of the weather that they would... So because, essentially, right. it was becoming summertime, and the bus started in the wintertime. So they figured that, you know, with the summer and the spring would come more people riding the Night Moves.
Okay, but again, if you are running deficit balances, do you want to take that risk?
I mean,
what's the gain?
I think if you're going to take a risk and you're running on almost deficit balances, I think it should be a low risk, low reward. I mean, I don't think you should be doing.
Well, what information was that this bus route was going to be a success in the summer or the winter?
I don't think they did any research or anything, as far as I know.
So just guess.
I think so. I mean, they just, I guess, I don't know. They bust people downtown, which I guess they thought would, like, you know, bring in tax dollars as well as whatever they got to pay for transit. But it didn't end up working out that way.
Well, I guess the state auditor, it's in their hands now.
Well, I think that'll be interesting.
You know, you have to be in a pretty desperate position to call the state auditor or send a letter to the state auditor.
Also, like, what is considered necessary?
Well, something that the city needs to provide. Salaries, sanitation services.
Well, yeah, but, like, if they just, you know, said, well, we don't have the money to fund buses anymore, could they do that? Or buses necessary?
No, I think they would consider transportation because it's mainly for the elderly and the disabled. No, it would be creating new programs. It would also be looking at what is needed and what is not.
So would they defund old programs?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. The budget's about to be done. Somebody's going to take a look at that budget.
Well, I don't know what all the city, like, finances, but I mean, like, you know, I mean, the, like, Department of Developmental Disabilities, they do the Senior Center, they do, you know, Downtown Inc. Like, you know, so they fund a lot of things.
Could be a lot of money going in opposite directions. I don't know. It just, it's unfortunate.
Well,
and this is why, you know, this is the perfect example, the A number one example. As I've always said, a successful politician's number one criteria, above everything else, is you've got to bring people together. If you don't bring people together, you will ultimately be seen as a failure. Because there will always be a strong group of people that doesn't like you. And if you're always misleading people and always stretching it, stretching the truth, no matter what you do, there might be a certain group of people that love you, but there's going to be a certain group of people that hate you. And that's why you've got to be a politician that makes deals with both sides, that is popular with independents, that can be liked. Likeability is a big part of it. And if you are not somebody who's liked, you will not be a successful politician. You will be looked at as somebody who was divisive and somebody who misled people a lot of the time.
Well, I mean, probably. I mean, one of the biggest complaints you heard about, well, I guess the biggest complaint you heard about Kamala was that you didn't know it. But, I mean, the biggest complaint you heard about Hillary when she ran was just that I just don't like her.
Right, but she wasn't in office. I mean, I'm talking about people who make it to office. When you are seeing, your administration, ultimately, Ronald Reagan's the perfect example of this. Ronald Reagan's policies on the whole, they were average. Some were good, some were bad. But people liked him. He did reach across the aisle.
I don't know, Reaganomics was pretty rough.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All his policies were not good. Some were good, some were bad. His foreign policy was pretty good. Soviet Union came to an end. He was able to give the famous speech that people can quote to this day.
How much of the Soviet Union coming to an end was him?
Didn't they
have a financial collapse? They couldn't fund themselves anymore?
Well, yes, but it was a good portion of that was trying to keep up with us in the nuclear race that had been going on since the 1950s.
Well, I mean,
and that's where he beat them.
But, I mean, also,
and also he had somebody come into the office in Gorbachev who he could do business with and get treaties with, nuclear disarmament treaties that he could not before that. And part of that was because they knew they could not keep up with the nuclear arsenal that the United States was developing. So, you know, an Iran-Contra certainly wasn't regarded well. But if you look at Ronald Reagan on the whole, he's always regarded in the top 20 presidents. Sometimes in the top 10. Because he was likable. He did reach across to the other side. He and Tip O'Neill, hardcore Democrat, did make deals when Tip O'Neill was Speaker of the House. And that's why he's seen as a success. All his programs were not great. And people can debate them till the end of time. But when you look at the man, this country liked the man. He won 49 states in his re-election campaign. You can't win by 49 states if people don't like you. And they're not looking at your policies. And there were Democrats that voted for him. Bill Clinton, look at the numbers he beat his opponents by. Large margins. You haven't seen margins like that since Bill Clinton.
I don't think you will.
Because most presidents now are dislikable to a certain group of people. They don't reach across the aisle. George W. Bush did not make deals with Democrats. Barack Obama had a terrible time making deals with Republicans. Trump does not do well with Democrats. That's why people saw Biden as okay, whether, again, his problem will be should he have run for another term. But on the whole, Biden being an old-fashioned person who had been there for a long time did tend to make more deals with Republicans than Obama certainly had.
I think Obama was a bit of a hypocrite, personally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
I mean, I don't know.
Hypocrite.
Yep.
Said something and did a different thing.
Well, yeah.
What?
I mean, he spent a good portion of the campaign talking about how George Bush and the Republicans were like warmongers and whatnot, and then when he got into office, he proceeded to airstrike more people than like any other sitting president. I don't think any other. I think there's like one, maybe two more above him, but I mean, he's up there. Man loved the airstrikes. That's certainly not a peacetime president right there.
No, but I guess the point is that why can't a president be super likable now?
Well, I think it's a little divisive.
Yeah, but why?
Well,
Republicans certainly did not want to like Bill Clinton. He unseated their sitting president, George H.W. Bush. They didn't like that. But Bill Clinton, there, if you look at the numbers, there is no doubt that people who voted for Ronald Reagan voted for Bill Clinton. No doubt.
Well, I'm sure that there's always crossover.
I don't know anymore. You look at these elections, I don't see a whole lot of variation in the numbers. Slight. I think people stay home now.
I mean, I don't think that crossover is always, like, absurd, but I mean, I think that there's always crossover.
I never heard until Hillary and Trump, the lesser of two evils. Now, every election is the lesser of two evils. I don't know how the lesser of two evils become the candidates for both parties. I don't know how that happens. Of all the people in the world, we get the two evil, the two evilest people every election cycle. Hillary and Trump, two evil people. Biden and Trump, two evil people. Kamala and Trump, two evil people. Well, if they were the lesser of two evils, how'd you get three different evil people in there? It's not the lesser. I hate that saying. It's such baloney. It's just, I don't want to vote for the other person, but I'm not thrilled with my candidate. That's all that they're saying. It's not lesser of two evils. Used to be, I'm going to vote for this person because I like them better, I think they'll do better. Now it's, you know, I hate my candidate, so it's the lesser of two evils.
I don't know. I mean, I think that if you tend to dislike both candidates, a lot of people just stay home, don't vote.
Do you think there was never an election prior to that where people disliked both candidates?
Sure, but I think a lot of people probably stayed home.
More people are voting now than ever before.
Well, I think that politics is more divisive now than ever before.
So that brings out voters.
Yeah.
For the lesser of two evils. When we actually liked both of them, we voted less.
Well, I think that...
Makes no sense.
Well, I mean, I think that now, if you think that the other guy's evil, I'm bound to show up to the polls to vote against the other guy.
Well, they did for Biden in 2020. But they certainly didn't for Kamala in 2024.
Yeah, well, she lost.
Yeah, but it's the same person they're running against.
Well, apparently they thought Donald Trump was going to be better than Kamala.
Well, but that numbers don't really reflect that. The numbers reflect that a lot of people did not show up to vote who voted for Biden that would have voted for Kamala. They just didn't show up.
Well, I guess they didn't like her. Then that's okay, yeah.
No, but they didn't vote the other way.
A lot of people stayed home.
Yeah, isn't that what I started this by saying? People stay home now instead of voting for the person that they like better. I might not agree with everything, but I like you better. Now they just stay home. I don't like everything you agree with, so I can't like anything you agree with. That is not compromise. We don't even compromise on our vote. How do you expect the politicians to compromise? And by the way, I think it's very interesting that these politicians, as we're about to have the longest government shutdown in the history of the government, 31 days today, I think it's very interesting that the Republicans are furious over the loss of SNAP. Now, why are the Republicans so angry about that? That's certainly not a Republican issue.
Like who?
Well, yesterday, I think... Tom Tillis was giving a big speech on the floor about how the Democrats were defunding SNAP and how it was going to make families go hungry and blah, 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 blah. And DeWine funds.
Well, that's the gambit.
Yeah, but I thought they didn't like that stuff. They don't like those entitlements, the Republican Party. DeWine, our own governor, is funding it since the federal government's not. And blames the Democrats, the Senate Democrats, as he does it.
Well, I think that, you know, I think that DeWine probably sees it as a losing gamble. I think that Donald Trump sees it otherwise. Otherwise, he would have funded it.
Well, okay, if you believe that, then why not make a deal with the Democrats to get the government open back? Because I haven't heard a Democrat.
Because they're not compromised. It's hey, it's either healthcare's in the bill or we're not passing it. And Republicans are either like, hey, healthcare's not getting in the bill, so nothing's happening.
But see, that's not exactly true. And that's, I mean, how, that's how the
Marjorie Taylor Greene is crossed over, and then you have, like,
and some others.
Two Democrats and an independent.
But see, that's not exactly true, though. Because this bill has a lot of stuff in there the Democrats are not fans of. A lot of stuff.
Sure it does. I mean, it's
but they are.
For, like,
but they're saying, give us this one thing. That's what they're saying. I don't think they're in for upping defense spending. I don't think they're up for tax breaks for the rich. I don't think they're up for increasing border security. I don't think they're up for all that stuff. But they're saying, we will give you all of that. You give us health care. And the Republicans do not want to do that. So, what is the compromise on... What did the Republicans compromise on? Because you said it's a one issue. Well, the Democrats compromised on about 7 different issues. And they're saying this is the one we're not going to compromise on. So what did the Republicans compromise on?
I don't think that's compromise. Compromise is like, hey, you want 3 things, I want 1 thing, we get 2 things.
Right. So what did the Democrats get?
Well, nothing.
Nothing.
Well, I mean,
they're asking for 1.
That's still not compromise. They literally just gave over 7 things they didn't like.
Okay, so they decided...
That's not compromise.
They decided we're in the minority.
They didn't work down the numbers.
You think they should just give them it all then?
Well, I'm not saying that. They didn't compromise very well.
Well, the bill's hung up, but they're saying we'll pass this bill if you fix this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans say no.
Yep.
So who compromised?
Well, nobody.
So the Democrats didn't compromise on those 7 things.
Well, I don't think the Democrats are stupid. I mean, you don't have the majority in the House. You don't have the majority in the Senate.
So why hold it up now?
You don't have the presidency.
Why hold it up now?
I mean, you really,
why hold it up now?
You can't do anything about it.
Yeah, they're doing it right now.
Yeah, but I mean, if they...
You're not making any sense.
If they said, hey, all those things that we don't like, can't have them. I mean, they're not going to do that.
Right. They're going to compromise.
They don't have the power. They don't have the numbers.
Well, they do right now. That's what we're doing this.
Barely?
Yeah, but
we need, like, 4 more votes.
How do you decide that compromise is not, I'll give you everything you want, even though I disagree with it, but you give me this? That's not compromise?
That's a poor compromise.
Okay, that's fine, but that's not a compromise?
I mean,
what is it?
I guess it's a compromise to some extent.
So what did the Republicans?
It's not a good compromise.
What did the Republicans say to the Democrats in this bill? We'll give you.
What did the Republicans say?
Yeah.
Well, nothing. They have the majority.
Okay, so they compromised on nothing.
They don't need to.
Well, they do now.
Well, I guess we're about to find out, huh?
So you would rather there just be 0 compromise than 1 compromise. That's what your thought process is. Don't even ask for 1 thing. Give them everything. Unless you're going to ask for more, don't do it.
Like, I mean, you said they want to do, like, I don't know, like, increase defense the military spending. You could just dial back the amount they increase military spending.
But they're not going to pass the budget.
You could just dial back the amount that they... Like, you don't have to be like, nope, can't do that, can't do that, can't do that. Just change the numbers. Make it less. That's compromise.
They don't come off of that. That's the point. They're saying, this is it. This is our budget. That's why it got extended in July and everybody took the heat. When they did compromise on everything.
That's not compromise at all. You just gave it to him.
So you don't like them standing up for the one issue now. Well, what are they going to give on the health care? What compromise have you heard?
I think they're doing the best they can as of currently. I just think that it's poor compromise. I mean, it's a compromise, I guess. It's better than no compromise, but it's poor compromise.
Okay, so what? You got to have two people compromising, or you've got no compromise.
Yeah.
So what are the Republicans compromising on?
Well, I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene crossed over.
No, I'm not about the group as a whole to get the votes to compromise on an issue. What issue was that? That they changed from the original plan.
So what issues are the, like, I mean, it's the same bill.
Right, and that's why they're saying, we will not fund this if you don't fund health care. That's the deal that's put on the table. And the Republicans are saying, not a penny. No. So here we are.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so who is it? Who's causing the problem? So do you compromise, or do you just say, okay, you can have it?
Well, I mean,
because the Republicans can't get this done without them.
There's better compromises.
So what's the compromise? What are the Republicans going to compromise on? So I'm saying, what are they going to do? What's the deal that they have come back to the Democrats and said, you know what? You want that one thing. We'll do this. We'll meet you here. What is that?
Have they tried anything else besides health care?
So abandon health care and find something that they don't really care about.
Oh, well, I mean, you just said that there's all kinds of things in that bill they don't like.
There sure are.
All right, well, then pick something else you don't like.
But I think...
if they don't want to do health care, pick something else you don't like and go after that instead.
Well, I think they consider this the most important, that people are going to lose their health care.
Well, I mean, we're 31 days into a government shutdown, and obviously the Republicans disagree, so pick something else. Okay. Compromise.
So let the Republicans strong-arm you. Don't stand behind anything.
Pick something else.
So find the thing that they care about the least is what you're saying. Find the thing the Republicans care about the least and are willing to give you an inch on, and then take that and say, okay.
If they're not willing to give you an inch, you're not going anywhere anyways.
Well, I think the idea is they're eventually going to have to give an inch, or they're going to get in trouble, and I think the governor of Ohio realized that. All right, we're coming back.
Of Halloween and fall, it's now time for a Halloween poem reading by Charlie Evers, Mary Ann Michaels, Martha Douse, Mary Ellen Withrow, Scott Spears, Mar-